Good morning. The Bible reading this morning is the entire 84th Psalm. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you.
Thank Jonathan for the reading this morning. With the lesson this morning, we're going to close the short series we've been doing on Psalms written by the sons of Korah. This is not all of them, but I've chosen to stop at this point. And this is one of those Psalms. The exact author, like all of those, is not known. We just know the family from which they came. It's thought that this particular psalm was written sometime after the reign of David because of the internal evidence in the psalm. The internal wording of the psalm indicates a time when the temple has been constructed and when temple worship is going on. Both verses 2 and 10 refer to the courts of the temple, or of the house of God. And the tabernacle, which was used up through the reign of David and replaced during the time of Solomon with a permanent temple, had an outer court and the two inner chambers. But it was only when the permanent temple was constructed that it had numerous courts surrounding the temple proper. And so since the psalmist talks about the courts of God's house, that would indicate the first indication that this was during the time when the temple was in use. The second one is his use of the term house rather than tent. House is a more permanent type of building than the tabernacle tent. In his commentary on the Psalms, James Smith suggests that this psalm is in three stanzas, which you can see in some versions of the Bible that give you the stanzas. It separates them into that. And he says that they indicate the progression of the Jewish pilgrim on his way to the temple to worship. The first stanza, which is verses 1 through 4, is the anticipation of the journey as one is approaching Jerusalem. The second is the feeling the pilgrim gets when they finally see the temple from afar, and that was characteristic of the temple. The temple was built on Mount Zion, we all know, but it was constructed out of white granite. And so sitting up on the top of the mountain, the sun would strike it in the morning, and it would seem good to be golden, but it stood out from afar as you came. And so That was the impression. That's what he thought that impression was. And then the third stanza, verses 8 through 12, expresses the joy the pilgrim would feel when they finally got to the temple and could participate in the worship there. I think that that's probably a pretty accurate analysis. I'm not going to worry about that analysis in my comments on the verses. I think it's accurate and it's a good way to look at it. The emphasis that I'm going to make this morning is how the psalm applies to us. And I think that's appropriate because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16, he says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" So he tells the Corinthian church that they are God's temple. And so I think what I wanted to do in this lesson is make the application of these verses personal for us as the temple of God. And so that first stanza, how blessed is the soul who dwells in God's house. The first stanza is verses 1 through 4, and that's actually the conclusion of that stanza. And if you looked at that through the perspective of the faithful Jew who lived out in one of the more distant areas occupied by the tribes and who only made it to Jerusalem a couple of times a year, if that, to worship. They were commanded to all go at least once. But there were other great festivals that for which Jews would go. We learn that in the Gospels in the life of Jesus, that he went from Galilee for the Passover, but he also went for other feasts as well. That as they were getting this opportunity to go, they were excited about going. And we don't make those kind of pilgrimages today, but we get excited about things. We get excited about going to vacation when we were young, when our children were young, at the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, things like that, when they were getting to go to grandma's house, how excited they would get in anticipation. And that's the picture that the psalmist paints here. And the second thing he says is, well, how fortunate are those who dwell there? I only get to come to Jerusalem once or twice a year. I'm so excited about getting to go. What a wonderful thing it is for those people who get to live right here. And so the psalmist says here, the view of this pilgrim is that this temple, the area of this temple, would be a wonderful place for them to dwell to rest. It's a place where the birds would build their nests. I want to be here. And so it was a joyous occasion when they got to go, and they said, "I just wish I could be here all of the time." It's kind of like the way some of us would feel if in the cold winter parts of January and February we got to spend a week in Florida. We would say, "I want to live here. I don't want to go back to that." And of course, a lot of people make that choice. But the point I want us to see is that's the way the pilgrim felt about it. Going to Jerusalem, going to the temple was a special thing. Well, how do you think the people who actually live there thought about that? You know, we have the old saying, hindsight is 20/20, and so we have hindsight on this. We know that most of the Jews, and particularly those in Jerusalem, did not value the temple and the worship that went on in the temple the way the psalmist expresses the pilgrims thought about it. If they had, they wouldn't have suffered all the consequences that they suffered because they did not appreciate it and they did not value it and they did not take advantage of it. And I think there's the application for us. Unfortunately, it's not the application for you all. Do Christians feel this same way about the opportunity for church and for worship? And the reason why I say it doesn't really apply to you is because you're here. You're here at the 9 o'clock hour. You're here. This is the group that's here on Wednesday night for Bible study. This is the group that when we would have a gospel meeting, some of our members will visit the meeting and maybe a night, but you're the ones that will be here. So you have some appreciation for that. Do you share the same amazement and maybe frustration that I have and that I show from sometimes as to how people who proclaim to be a Christian don't demonstrate that they have a longing or a desire to be in God's house, to worship and to pray? And so I want to see that what the psalmist is describing in verses 1 through 4 is not all people who claim to be God's people. It's a special group of people because they have an attitude about what it means to go to God's place and to worship God. And that leads us to the second two stanzas, because the psalmist describes the attitude of that special group of people and what makes them special and why they end up having this attitude about the house of God. And so the second stanza starts with these words: "How blessed is the man whose strength is in you and is in whose heart are the highways to Zion." The psalmist describes the heart of the individual who finds their strength in God. Their strength, their spiritual strength, is derived from their belief in God. And it's interesting how he describes that. He says, you make your life, you're the highways to Zion. Now, you get on the highway to go someplace you want to go. And because of your attitude about God, your highways lead you to Zion, where his temple is. They desired to make the journey. And that desire is what separates these people from those who do not exhibit the desire to assemble and worship. What is true of human beings is if you really want to do something or to be with someone or to be someone, you'll find a way to do it. Regardless of what that activity is. And since one of my few remaining hobbies is golf, I just use that as illustration. The guys I play golf with will say about another fellow, he's not really a golfer. And I played yesterday. So one of the guys I played with gets a call after we finished the first 9 holes, and he says, "I got to go. My wife needs me at home." And the guy I was riding the cart with says, "He's really not a golfer, is he?" Of course, I don't have that problem because Debbie likes any excuse to keep me away from the house. So I don't get calls asking me to come home. But you know, and you've seen that on a day that in the wintertime when it's so cold people can't make it to church, you turn on the television when you get home in the afternoon and there's 60,000 people sitting in the snow to watch a football game. The difference is they wanted to be at the football game. And so you do what you really want to do. And so he says, these people, their strength comes from the Lord. And so there's a verse in here that probably needs to be explained, verse 6. "Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessings." The Valley of Baca is a literal valley. It was a dry mountain valley that pilgrims coming from many of the directions, most of the children of Israel lived north of Jerusalem. So coming from the north, you had to go through that valley to get to Mount Zion. And it was very dry. And so for travelers on foot, knowing where the springs were, or having access to water while you were making that trip, was a very important thing. But what the psalmist says is these faithful followers of God become the springs. And they're like the rain. They provide the water that everybody else needs. Thus, their strength becomes a strength for others. Faithful Christians recognize the truth in this. We get our encouragement and our strength from the faithful examples of other worshipers. And again, I'll mention you. When I think of the West Carrollton Church and what it is or what it can be, I generally think of this group of people, because you're the ones that can be counted on. And that's what the psalmist is saying there. So he says, those who find their strength in God are regular worshipers. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them, he says, appears before God in Zion. They are strong, but they take their strength from God. They give that strength to others. And then the final stanza that begins in verse 8, it's actually a prayer in Hebrew. And this is this stanza contains probably the most familiar verse, at least in this psalm, verse 12. The New American Standard is not worded in a way that you would remember it. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in God. And then in verse 10, the familiar verse, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. The King James reading of that is the one to remember. I would rather be a gatekeeper at the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of wickedness. And so I get my blessing from being here and being a part of it. I don't have to be the focal point of it. I don't have to be a priest administering the sacrifices. In our day, I don't have to be the preacher. I don't have to be the song leader. I just get joy from the fact that I can be here and participate in the worship. So we understand the sentiment of this verse within the context of the prayer that contains it. What the prayer, the one offering the prayer, says is, he says, I have this attitude because God is my shield and I am God's anointed. Now, sometimes we look at that and we think, well, God anointed the kings and he anointed the priests and he anointed the Messiah in those terms. But when you anointed somebody, you designated them. And that's particularly appropriate for us because the New Testament teaches us we're all God's priests in his house. So we're his anointed ones. And he says, well, that's one of the reasons I value, the psalmist values, being able to come to the temple. He recognizes the position and the nature of God. He says, God is the sun and the shield. He is the one who gives the light. He is the one who provides the protection. God is the one who gives grace and glory. And God withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. All the goodness of God is bestowed upon those who have the attitude that the psalmist expressed towards going to the temple. This is the prayer of one who trusts in God. The psalmist concludes that to trust God in such a way is truly the source of all great blessings. And so, we may have some difficulty in our day and time and with our life in the modern world in which we live to envision the journey of the pilgrims as they went on foot through the mountains to get to the city of Jerusalem. which we've talked about in this psalm. But some Christians in today's modern world still have that vision. They're on a journey. And they're on a journey to God's house. And they will be successful because God is their strength and God blesses those who trust in God. Brother Jim has the prayer, and then it'll be time for the class.